For the past few weeks, I've noticed something a little different about myself. I've noticed that I just seem to be a little more mature, a little smarter maybe, maybe even a little wiser. And, well, I don't know. I think so. Thank you, Ronnie, for that vote of confidence. And I thought it was, you know, my eyes are, I've been fighting my eyesight, I've been holding out, and I thought it was this. I thought that the reading glasses that I've added to my repertoire was it, but I found out this past week that that's not it. And my wife has also started to look just a little more wise and mature and godly. Amen. And also the prices, the older prices have as well. So if you haven't guessed it by now, Liz and Colby are expecting, and we're very excited about that. Thank you. Thank you. So nothing to do with me at all, but I'm proud and excited. And in fact, she's home this morning sick, so I tell her when that happens, I'm sad for her, but I'm happy for the baby. That means that's something growing there. Last week we started a two-part series on relationships, and last week was Secrets to Improving Relationships. And if you were here, you remember they were secrets because they're in the book. It's not that they're hidden, but we don't always look for them. And so they kind of remain secrets if we don't use them. But today we're going to expand on that and get into, what about people that are different than you? What about people, you know, is there anyone in here that you have a hard time with, some people in your life, some relationships? They're difficult. And so I have 4 points for us this morning about dealing with differences in people. And the first one is just very simply, people are different than you. I think that's a revelation to us sometimes, because we become surprised that someone thinks different than I do, or someone feels different than I do, or someone acts different than I do. And sometimes we struggle with that. But Romans 13, this is verses 3 and 4, actually remind us of our differences. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." And to dive into that a little bit more deeply, we do tend to think too highly of ourselves. We tend to think, if someone thinks different than me, they're obviously wrong, because I'm obviously right. That's just kind of how we approach things. But reading on in verse 4, Scripture says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." Reading on verse 6 says, we have different gifts. We're not all the same. We don't have the same function. And do you think that's by accident? So the fact that some people are different, they think different, they act different, sometimes their genetics are different, their personality is different. And who made that? Who made people, their genetics and personality? God, right? God made them that way in a lot of the ways that people are, is my point. And now you add to that their experiences, and their past is different than your past. And that adds to how they approach things. So I think it's helpful just to realize and expect, hey, people are going to be different than I am. And Paul knew that when he talked about reaching out and reaching the lost. He says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew. To those under the law, to those outside the law, to the weak. He goes on to name those additional two ways. And so people are different, and we need to relate to them different. We need to care about them differently. And then Romans reminds us, Romans 14, verse 1 reminds us not to quarrel over opinions. Do we ever do that? Anyone ever have quarreling in your house over opinions? Some things are just opinions. They're not right or wrong. They're not good or bad. They're just opinions. And we're not to quarrel over those. And then here's kind of an added layer. Verse 4 says, "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another?" And of course, the other is God. God, they're a servant of God. And sometimes that's kind of that helps us to take a sobering step back, that I might need to be taking a little easy on this person for where they're coming from, because they They're serving the same God I'm serving. All right, number two. Everyone has some baggage. Turn to your neighbor in love and say, you have some baggage. You do. You do. And then say, you do too. You have some too. Now you may be proficient at telling who's next to you what's in their suitcase, right? But we can replace these things. Anxiety, someone's been betrayed in their past, they have bitterness, someone is battling addiction or anger. I mean, you can replace these with many things, but isn't it true that we all have some? We all have some inner demons we fight. Sometimes we're not even aware of them. And some of it is sin. It's because we live in a fallen world. Remember Romans 3:10 says, none is righteous, no, not one. Meaning in and of ourselves, there's not a single person on earth in and of themselves that's righteous. And we all have sinned. So our sin, doesn't our sin bring about a lot of our problems? And the fact that we live in a fallen world means not only do my sin cause me problems, but in my past, people I've experienced that have done wrong toward me, that is their sin, but it impacted me. And we all have some of that. We're not perfect. No one in here has perfect genetics. Sometimes Abby will be practicing for some sport or activity, and she'll complain about her knees hurting, and I'll tell her, you get that from me. I have kind of weak knees also, and she turns that around and starts blaming me. Then she's upset at me. And I have to tell her, I didn't make the genes. I just passed them on to you. But none of us have perfect genes, right? Physically or mentally. They're all faulty to some degree. None of us have perfect environment. Someone may struggle with feelings of inadequacy. That's going to impact a relationship. Or distorted thoughts of what you think of them. Sometimes you'll be talking to someone and they're worried about what you think of them. And you're not even thinking about that. But you may push a button that has nothing to do with you or the conversation or what's going on. But you touched on something that's an issue or a problem for them. And, once in a while, more so in the past, but still once in a while, Stephanie will say, she'll say, you know, when you do that, when you talk that way, you remind me of, and I'm not going to name, but so-and-so. And what she's saying is that in, you know, that relationship in her past, now I'm hitting that button. And sometimes I wish I could go back in time to when that so-and-so, before that so-and-so knew her, and say, listen, treat her good, right? Because if you don't, I'm going to pay for that the rest of my life. Sometimes, and maybe sometimes I'm at fault in that. There was one silent amen there. But we do hit buttons sometimes with people that don't have anything to do with us. All right, number three. People don't hear what you hear. Mom and Dad and I were at a doctor's appointment a little while back, and it was Mom's appointment for her liver and problems with that, and so we're at this doctor's appointment, and the doctor comes in, and we're hanging on every word. I mean, you know, he has the answers to our questions that are very important to us, and so he talks, and we're listening. We ask some questions, and we walk out of there, and we go sit in the car, and we say, okay, well, what you think? One of us, that sounded pretty good. I'm encouraged. What do you mean you're encouraged? He said this. Well, did he? Now, hold on. He didn't quite say that. And then we get to talking, and the three of us have three totally different stories of what we just heard. And we're sitting in that doctor's office, three intelligent people, and we have one job in that doctor's office. We're even taking notes. One job, to listen and understand. And we walk out of there with three different versions of what he just said. And I think this is an analogy that I think may help. When I, a few years ago, Bob flew the elders and ministers, we went down to Lubbock for a conference and for a workshop. anyway, when we're flying, so being in Bob's plane, flying, Bob, you know, hands me these headphones. I put these headphones on. Okay, well, I can kind of hear him, but in addition to hearing him, I hear all this chatter of, you know, towers and all this airplane lingo and all this stuff that evidently is important to pilots and safety of humanity. But I hear all this chattering in the background, and then we talk, and I can't hear Bob, but I have all this background going on. And I couldn't do it. That doesn't work for me. I had to take those off. It's just too much going on. I can't understand. And the truth is, when we communicate with each other, it's like right now, for example. As I talk, you hear most of what I say, maybe less, because the mind gets distracted, right? You have your own thoughts going on in your mind the same time I'm talking. So I'm talking and you're talking in your mind. You're interpreting what the words I'm saying, and they mean certain things to me and maybe something different to you. And take all of that and mush it up, and that's communication. We don't hear what other people hear. Isn't that something? Mark, a couple examples of this. Mark 8:31. This is where Jesus began to teach his apostles. He's trying to prepare them for the cross. He says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. After 3 days, rise again." And he said this plainly. Jesus is talking about dying, just what we observed here, what we remember. Jesus is talking about dying for the sins of humanity, and all Peter can hear is this plan of Jesus being the next king of Israel and restoring the kingdom and kicking out the Romans and, you know what I mean, leading a revolt. That's what Peter thought was going to happen. And Peter, because of that, no doubt, Peter begins to rebuke Jesus. We could spend some time on that, but long story short, he brings over the Creator and the Son of God and begins to correct him because he didn't hear what Jesus was saying. And it's amazing to me how in our conversations we think people understand us, or we think we understand them, and we don't, because there's a lot of background noise going on. Number four, we need to factor the devil's influence. And in this occasion where Peter corrects Jesus, so he corrects him, he said, but then Jesus, when he realizes the apostles, he's seen his disciples, he rebuked Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus could not have rebuked Peter any more strongly, any more directly, any more clearly. And he calls him Satan, no doubt, because he knows, Peter, Satan is working through you to get to me. Peter did not turn into Satan, but Peter was the voice of Satan, because those thoughts and those words were the opposite of the mission. And so Jesus corrects Peter, and in doing so, he points out that it isn't just Peter that's opposing Jesus, but ultimately it's the devil. Sometimes when someone acts wrongly toward me, it can be anything. It can be a complex scenario maybe, but it can be somebody cutting me off in traffic or tailgating me. I had someone tailgate me the other day going over the bridge. What in the world? It's a little wet. It's not icy or dangerous, but I mean, I can't see their headlights. That's right. At night, when I can't see your headlights, you're too close. And anyway, but in those scenarios, and in much greater ones, I have two ways of going about things. And one is just I don't think about the devil at all. I just think about the person, and I think they're either being a jerk or selfish or right something like that. And it's irritating to me, and I want to react to that. That's one way. Another way, which I'm growing in, and I did just this last week, and I'm learning to do this, and that is I factor the devil's influence. I factor his tempting. And so I look at what this person's doing, and I realize it's not just them. The devil is working on them. He's working through them. And so I'm still irritated, But then all of a sudden it hits me because I still want to react. But then I say, you know what? I don't want to help the devil. I can see what he's doing. I don't want to help him. I don't want to further what he's trying to cause, disruption and conflict and chaos. And I decide, I want to help God win this battle because, after all, this isn't, again, our battle's not against flesh and blood. Our battles are spiritual. And I'm growing in doing that. It's a learning process. But I give that to you. And I want to leave you with this thought. You at some point have or will be the difficult person someone is dealing with. Let me read that again. You at some point have or will be the difficult person someone is dealing with. Because you think different. And you have baggage. And you didn't hear clearly or understand clearly, or they didn't hear you clearly, and the devil has gotten the best of you. That's what happens in our relationships. So we need to pray more, don't we? We need to remember that our battles are not against flesh and blood. The lesson is a little shorter than normal this morning. I'm sure you've noticed that, and we're providing some time for a couple announcements to be made in a moment. But before we do that, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And you may be here this morning and have something on your heart that is weighing heavily, and we would invite you to come and share that with us and let us lift that up to God with you and for you. You may be here and not ready to meet God. You're not ready for Judgment Day. You know you're not. Change needs to happen in your life. And if that's your status, let's do that together. We'll help you with that if you'll come while we stand and sing.